P-minus 98. Ford McCarthy residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Emma McCarthy sat at her kitchen table praying for her husband's safety as their baby daughter Piper wriggled carefree on her lap. Minutes earlier, the remarkably and somewhat frighteningly gifted child had reported that Dan, along with her Aunt Tara and the friendly alien she knew as Leisha, were gone.
Dada no he,
was the eight-month-old's way of saying this, and a scarcely understood power she possessed due to having been conceived while Dan himself had been uplifted by the messengers was how she knew he had finally taken the leap across New Kerguelen's mysterious gateway. The discovery of that gateway had caused all manner of problems and introduced all manner of risks, not least that the other gateway in New Kerguelen's sky, which acted as the only means of connecting it to Earth across an otherwise unfathomable distance, might be closed or destroyed out of an abundance of caution should those who wanted the second gate to be destroyed have their way. A cutting off of contact between the universe's two known inhabited worlds would have left young Piper separated from the well-meaning aliens whose actions had inflicted upon her the powers which her family and their close friends worried could develop in unexpected and dangerous ways. Already, when Piper's telekinetic uplift power first reared its head, she had almost hurt herself by unknowingly attracting shards of broken glass towards her face. Her uncle Clark, now sat at her side, had rushed into harm's way on that occasion to keep her safe, but everyone knew that Piper couldn't feasibly be monitored like that every second of every day. Of perhaps even greater concern was the notion that Piper might one day come to develop powers of a different kind, so far unimagined alongside the telepathy and telekinesis she had displayed, since unimagined powers could bring unimagined problems. The relative success of Dan and Tara's previous trip to New Kerguelen brought with it the discovery of a device capable of removing Piper's uplift powers, and for a short time, it had appeared that the baby was cured of what they considered a dangerous and undesirable affliction. Since then, however, Piper had more than once displayed an uncanny ability to predict when Dan was going to arrive in her presence. A kindly doctor from New Kerguelen had studied the child immediately before Dan's trip across the gate, almost no time ago, and largely succeeded in convincing her parents that there was nothing to fear. Melly, the doctor who identified herself as an empath capable of reading other individuals in a way precious few others could, insisted that Piper was a truly remarkable child, and that her mental development would keep pace with the development of any further non-human abilities. In saying this, Melly tried to reassure Dan and Emma that by the time Piper could do new things, even if that included relearning the telepathy and telekinesis that had recently been disabled by the messenger's reverse uplift device, her extremely intelligent mind would know better than to do them in any manner that could cause problems or indeed make her specialness known. The real issue for Emma was this last part, the need for Piper's unique attributes to remain secret. Her possession of alien powers would make her a target for all kinds of dark forces, be they the multinational corporations who had begun engaging in their own research into psychic powers now that such things had been proven possible beyond the realms of science fiction, or be they crazed lunatics who wouldn't think twice about killing humans of any age if they suspected them of being too powerful. Perhaps the greatest aggravating factor in all of this was the increasing prevalence of alarmist reporting and fear-mongering about the powers possessed by Leisha and Sacco. The behemoth Blitz Media rarely let an hour go by without spamming some story or another about humanity's urgent need to protect itself from the ungodly powers that lay in the hands of the aliens too many mistakenly thought of as humanity's friends, be it in the pages of the flagship Daily Chat newspaper or the bulletins of the sensationalist Blitz News TV station, and the relentless barrage was getting through. Although most still saw Blitz News for what it was and had reveled in the way Clark had stood up to Jan Geller during a much-watched recent episode of the current affairs discussion show Focus 2020, the balance was slowly shifting. This had been the case for a while, with those strongly in favor of deeper cooperation with the messengers and those strongly opposed to it both becoming even more fervent in their views. But those in the so-called soft middle that made up the vast majority of Earth's population were becoming more uneasy as time went on. A series of recent events had contributed towards this, none a game changer on its own, but all taken together having been enough to bring doubts back into people's minds. A full year of total deadlock in New York during the botched attempt to unite Earth's governments in a meaningfully powerful contact-focused organization within existing UN framework had reduced many appetites for cooperation, particularly with Blitz Media endlessly reminding everyone of the costs involved in keeping the lights on above a room full of pencil pushers from every corner of the globe. Other events had been far more damaging to the cause of positive cooperation, particularly when Leisha had publicly and gruesomely killed a would-be assassin who took aim at Clark and the new Interspace Contact Agency's inaugural chairman, the esteemed but controversial William Godfrey. Godfrey, an Englishman who had held more distinct and powerful titles in the past few years than many of history's greatest figures had in a lifetime, currently struck an unlikely figure in the McCarthy family's kitchen and looked at young Piper for hints of concern or relief. "I think she lost contact with Dan as soon as they crossed the gate," Chairman Godfrey said, stating the obvious, but considering that after 4 full minutes of silence from the present adults, it was high time for someone to say something. No one rushed to reply. Overnight, and in the earlier hours of what was sure to be a momentous day that would be forever remembered for one reason or another, the citizens of Earth had been talking about nothing and no one more than William Godfrey. This was more than understandable, of course, given that the ICA chairman had been unceremoniously and inexplicably abducted by the messengers precisely as he took the stage to formally inaugurate the new Buenos Aires-based organization that had been set to serve as a beacon of hope and harbinger of positive cooperation between worlds. But while the previous day had seen enormous marches of support for the ICA in Buenos Aires and beyond, with carnival atmospheres and optimistic smiles all round among those who saw cooperation with the friendly messengers from New Kerguelen as a way for humanity to tackle the problems it faced, this new day had so far been marked by gatherings of an altogether less welcome kind.